Hi everyone, thank you for coming. I want to share my last chapter of my dissertation research with you today, which I'm talking about the climate change impact on on-site wastewater, and I'm a PhD candidate at the University of Rhode Island. So I want to quickly acknowledge my funding sources, especially the Rhode Island Agricultural Experiment Station, the USDA, and as well as some travel grants and research enhancement awards from URI. I also want to acknowledge my research team, including my PI, Jose Amador, especially George Loomis, who's been very helpful, and of course the undergraduates, where we can't get all of our work done without them. So, taking it back kind of the beginning, how do we treat wastewater? The majority of our population is treated by wastewater treatment plants, about 75% of the population. These are highly monitored, so we kind of know how efficient these are working to renovate our wastewater. However, septic system still treats a significant chunk of the wastewater for our population, 25%. However, these are not monitored. We just kind of put them in the ground and hope they work, and this is where we kind of really need to spend more attention looking at how effective these are. So today, I'm going to be concentrating on septic systems and the soil-based components specifically. So just a quick distribution of on-site wastewater in the United States. And draw your attention to the East Coast here, where this is the darker colors correspond to the greater use of septic systems. So again, on the East Coast, we have much higher use. I've circled Rhode Island there. It is really, really minuscule state, and that is where our study site is. The U.S. average is 25% use of on-site wastewater in Rhode Island. We are a little bit higher than the national average at about 31%. So you might ask yourself, how is climate change going to affect these systems? Well, these are predictions from the 2013 report of the IPCC in the northeastern part of the United States. These are 100-year predictions. We are expecting the sea level rise 3 to 5 feet, increased precipitation, and elevated temperature 2 to 5 degrees Celsius. We've actually already seen the effects of the first two. We have already seen 8 inches of sea level rise in the last 30 years, and we also have 80% increased precipitation over these last extreme precipitation over those last 30 years as well. What is important to note while I am doing this specifically for the Northeast is that these predictions are applicable to many other parts of the world and the U.S. So what are the potential problems to on-site wastewater from the climate change? What I want to draw your attention to is the upper figure here. We all know salt water is denser than in freshwater. So as we get sea level rise, we get the denser salt water underlying the freshwater, pushing up those water tables, and that's limiting that unsaturated portion of the soil profile, where this is thought to have the most effective treatment. And what this leads to is it can lead to incomplete treatment and effluents that still have high loading contaminants getting into our stream surface waters and groundwaters as well. Additionally, there are a few physical effects of the rising temperatures. Let me orient you with this graph. On the y-axis, we have dissolved oxygen in milligrams per liter. On the x-axis, we have temperature. So we're currently in this region here. So as we can see, as we move towards climate change with hotter temperatures, we're actually going to have, for that same amount of water, we're going to have less dissolved oxygen. And a lot of the processes in the soil are thought to be more effective under these aerobic conditions, so we're going to have less dissolved oxygen to treat the wastewater. Additionally, there's a few biological effects of these increased temperatures. Similar graph here, on the y-axis we have soil respiration, a milligram of carbon per area per time, and on the y-axis we have soil temperature. So this is the current region we're in with our current temperature, and as we get higher, what's happening is we're getting increased consumption and increased soil respiration. So that carbon that's fueling those heterotrophic processes in the soil is going to be consumed much more quickly. It's going to limit all those heterotrophic carbon-fueled processes for wastewater treatment. So we really wanted to see what was going to happen and how climate change could possibly affect on-site wastewater. So let me outline my experiment for you. We have two basic types of systems. The first is a conventional, if you all know septic systems, a conventional is primary treatment, separation of solids in the septic tank, and followed by dispersal on a soil drain field, mostly in the sea level where you have the larger particle sizes. We have two types of advanced systems, and these are a few different changes from the conventional. We have, again, primary treatment in the septic tank, and this is followed by secondary treatment. Here we have a single pass through passes through a single pass sand filter. This adds some oxygen into the wastewater and also removes some of the BOD, carbon, and removes some of the fecal coliforms and particulate matter. This allows it to be dispersed in the more shallow portion of the drain field because you're not going to get that potential for hydraulic failure and clogging. So it's actually comparatively to the conventional system, it has a larger volume of unsaturated soil. Additionally, whereas the conventional system is dosed based on use, generally leading to two peaks of water use in the morning and the evening, the advanced systems are controlled by a timer, so they receive a very steady stream of water throughout the day, alternating on and off about, we chose every half hour in our system. So to test these, we wanted to do this in the lab so that we can control external parameters and temperature and precipitation. So we used intact soil mesocosms that we pressed into the ground using an excavator, dug them out very carefully, tried to leave them undisturbed, and brought them back to the lab where we instrumented them with moisture and temperature sensors, etc. To kind of give you an overview of the experiment, this is the profile view of what is in the columns. I just want to point out again, the conventional is deeper in the drain field. We have two advanced systems where their dosers are designed to increase oxygen content. But again, I really want to point out that they have much larger volume unsaturated soil, and these advanced systems receive that pre-treated wastewater that has less carbon and less particulate matter in it as well as higher oxygen. So the first step was testing these at 20 degrees Celsius at current water table levels, and then we elevated the water tables 30 centimeters or 1 foot and increased our temperature to 24 to 25 degrees Celsius. And let me share my results with you. So we mainly, today I'm just going to focus on the major contaminants concern. I have more data, but limited time. So first is biochemical oxygen demand. These next couple of slides will be very similar. On the y-axis we have BOD, concentration. The first bar is present climate, and the second bar is climate change. So what we can see in both the conventional and the advanced systems is that red bar there, we did have a little bit of biological oxygen demand coming out under the present climate scenario, but under climate change, we see that we really have very little to no carbon or BOD coming out. And we think this is basically because increased temperature, like we saw in that physical effects is that, or biological effects, is that as we increase the temperature, we're increasing microbial respiration, and it's consuming that available carbon much more quickly, also eliminating heterotrophic processes in the soil. If we turn our attention to fecal coliform bacteria, again, we have fecal coliform on the y-axis, present climate on the left, and on the right, we have climate change, and here's the advanced. What I want to point out is that we got absolutely no fecal coliform bacteria out in our present climate scenario. However, after we heated up the columns and raised our water tables, we actually got fecal coliform bacteria in all of the systems, both the conventional and the advanced. So previous studies have shown that as you reduce oxygen and you have wetter conditions, that fecal coliforms are more likely to be released and output water. And so we think that more of the other studies have shown that temperature can actually attenuate fecal coliforms. So we actually think that the moisture here is being the more important of the two factors, and that it's limiting that attachment to the soil particles. We did a MS2 bacteriophage experiment as a search for a virus, and actually got no output virus and output water under either condition, under either advanced or conventional. We think in these that pH is more important than either the condition of the temperature or the moisture. Because the viruses have a positive charge in them at our soil pH. We had an extremely acidic drain field. We have poorly buffered soils in Rhode Island. So our drain field got as low as 3.2. So with the positive charge, the virus is going to have aid in the retention to negatively charged soil particles. So I believe this is the reason we saw no viruses coming out. These graphs are going to change a little bit. What I want to draw your attention to here is now we're looking at total N. This is removal percentage. So as we get higher on the graph, we are having a higher percentage of removal of total nitrogen. And this bar, the red bar there in the middle, is 0% total nitrogen removal. So what we can see is in the conventional system, under the present climate scenario and climate change scenario, we have more variability in the climate change. We still see, in general, positive removal of nitrogen from the wastewater. However, in the advanced systems, you can see that, you know, almost more than half the time, we are getting actually additional leaching of total nitrogen in excess of the inputs. Now, we did wait for a stabilization and steady state period after we implemented the climate change scenario just to make sure that, you know, we weren't getting just an initial leaching from flooding the columns at the bottom. But we did see quite diminished removal for the advanced systems, while the conventional performed about similar under the present climate and post-climate scenarios. So we think there are two different things going on here. We think in these conventional systems, since they already have more copper in them, because they've only been coming, the wastewater from the septic tank has not been additionally treated. So things that they have carbon, that we're getting increased moisture, letting you get that anaerobic condition more often to allow denitrification to progress. However, for the advanced systems, we think the increased temperature is already leading to weaker consumption of that already limited amount of carbon, because they have that pretreated wastewater, which has taken away a lot of the BOD. So there's less carbon there for those heterotrophic denitrification processes. And finally, I want to show you total phosphorus. Again, this is percent removal, again, like the previous graph. So as we get higher on the graph, we have greater percent removal of phosphorus. And what I want to point out is in the two advanced systems, we had basically no phosphorus come out under the present climate scenario. However, as soon as we raised the water tables up and they stabilized, we did see phosphorus coming out of all three systems. The conventional performed was a little bit more leaching of phosphorus under the climate change conditions and was significant in all three technologies. So we were kind of, this was the most surprising, not really surprising, but the most extreme result that we saw for all the contaminants of concern. So we looked at a few things, and we think that what's most likely, rather than a biological effect, is that we increased moisture is causing dissolution or reduction of the metals that are bound to it. I didn't have time to show it, but we did actually do ICP analysis of the water and looked at metals that were in the water and made a relationship between the amount of phosphorus and the amount of metals that were in the water. And we saw that the amount of iron and aluminum and manganese was actually more important than what would be biological reasons. So I just want to bring you back now to a minute. This is just a map of the coastal populations in the United States. And the blue here is where the populations are increasing, which is the majority of the country, and the orange is where they're decreasing. So if we're 39% of the population resides in these coastal shorelines, and remember that graph I showed you at the beginning where the East Coast has more of these septic systems, climate change is something we're going to want to pay attention to as it relates to on-site wastewater, since our communities are moving towards the coast, and especially the impacted East Coast, where we have additional high on-site usage. Because we cannot fix our climate change problems as Futurama did by dropping an ice cube in the ocean, this is additionally why we should pay attention to this. So just to summarize, we had a positive effect. Climate change had a positive effect on BOD removal, had a positive effect on total nitrogen removal for that conventional system. However, we did see negative effects from the climate change on removal of fecal coliform bacteria, total nitrogen, and total phosphorus. And with that, are there any questions?
This might be a little moot because your results kind of show temperature didn't have a great effect, but in relation to the septic system, where the water's coming out of the house and it's kind of climate cold,
right?
And you're in the soil from those burning shower systems a little bit less, but you're getting that mediation of temperature from below. Do you think the increase in air temperature is going to really drastically change everything happening in the soil system?
Right. Yeah, we did think about that. It's definitely, if you look at the impact of atmospheric temperature on soil, it's going to happen more at the soil, so it's actually going to be more important for those advanced systems that have warmer temperatures than they have the infiltrative surface higher up. And we did, for clarification, we did heat the whole entire column because we were willing to be make sure you're warming it. So this is our best way to reach the condition, and we also had our wastewater was refrigerated, so initially came in cold because we were otherwise losing our carbon. So, it's hard to answer that because we had to do the, try and keep the integrity of our wastewater and not, but I believe it will definitely impact that proportion of the soil profile, and as we're starting to put our drain fields in more shallow, at least in Rhode Island, especially with our raising water tables, I think it will impact them. But maybe not somewhere, I think in Georgia you do them like 5 feet down, that probably won't likely have an effect, but the moisture will still be important.
How thick was your sand filter?
I believe it was 15 by 15, and I think it was 2 feet thick. I'm not sure because I was taking my samples, that is what I believe it is, but I was taking my samples from same treatment train. I took the septic tank and the sand filter, so I put the sand filter to flow into the advanced ones, the septic tank and the conventional. So I was not heating that. I was not heating up the wastewater before I put it into the soil.
Why did you have so much variability all year long?
Yeah, and we did, believe it or not, I did wait till it stabilized. I think there's a couple things going on. As we raised the water tables up, we saw sometimes that, you know, as you're going from a finer texture soil to a coarser texture soil, especially in the advanced ones, we'd see perching the water table, and then because you could see it, it just wouldn't start coming, and then it would just suddenly come through. So I think some of our availability was by this, the fact that we raised our water tables, creating that greater capillary suction that was causing more perching. I don't really know. It just seemed like the microbial communities were more variable, and the treatment was much more variable in all of my climate change conditions. We did wait for stability and run these both over 4 months. Thank you.
Excellent.